Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
You're listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. This is an episode of Notes from the Library. I'm your host, Victor, from the labs at DC Public Library. Today, we are joined by two colleagues from the Adult Literacy Resource Center, Desiree, Shania. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for agreeing to come on to today's show. I'm really happy that we made it work. So I just wanted to start out by inviting you to introduce yourself, Desiree.
Okay. All right. I'm Desiree, and I am the assistant manager of the Adult Literacy Resource Center at the Library Express location of the library. And that's my most current position, as a matter of fact. I am a 30-year veteran of the D.C. Public Library system.
That's great. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And how about you, Shania? Tell me about what do you do?
I don't have 30 years. I am relatively new to the DC Public Library family. So this week, I think, makes my fourth or fifth week working for the library. And I am assigned to work with the Adult Literacy Resource Center and taking what already exists and growing it into a new direction.
That's great. Well, we're very happy to have you at DC Public Library, and welcome.
Thank you.
Great. Well, before we talk about the Adult Literacy Resource Center, I was curious to learn more about you, your background, where are you from, if you're from DC, where did you grow up,
okay.
And also what brought you into kind of the field of adult education.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
This is Desiree. I'll start out right now, as a matter of fact. First of all, I am a native Washingtonian. I grew up here in Washington, D.C., went to the public school system here in the city. I don't know whether it's appropriate to call out my high school, because I may get some day. Yeah, the McKinley Tech, as a matter of fact, at that point. And then I pretty much have left the city to get other degrees, but I am in the library as one of the degrees I do hold, as a matter of fact, a Master of Library Science degree. However, during a career that has had many changes and twists and turns, I've walked into the digital component of my career, so that at some point in time, I came back to D.C. as a customer training coordinator in digital technology.
Okay.
And so for the past 20-some-odd years, I've been in that venue in the library, so much so that I'm now overseeing the Adult Literacy Resource Center's workforce digital literacy pathway for the D.C. Public Library,
yeah.
Something I'd like to talk more about.
Oh, yeah,
we'll definitely
talk about that.
That sounds like a plan. Thank you.
How about you, Shania?
I lived in a couple of states before I landed in D.C. I actually been working in the field of adult basic education for 16 years, exclusively here in Washington, D.C. I started in New York City, though, as a volunteer doing ESL. So I didn't even know adult education was a thing. I really didn't. When I lived in New York, I found it very interesting how many people had struggles because of the language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had reached my limit when I was at the doctor's. And I noticed how people would bring in small children as their like personal interpreter. And I'm like, oh my God, these kids are missing school. They're trying to like interpret for their grandma. And I'm like, how can we help people learn the language? So I moved to D.C. to go to American University to get my master's in teaching English to speakers of other languages. And then through there, I learned about native speakers who also had challenges with literacy. I didn't know it was a thing. I'm like, oh, like you're from this country and you can't read? Like, how did that happen? So then I explored, and 16 years later, I'm still doing the work.
That's great. Well, you mentioned adult learning. Can we maybe define what that is to our listeners? And either of you can answer that.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So adult is interesting because the definition does change and grow over the years. So the current definition, I actually just researched this not too long ago. So there's like three main categories and there's a fourth one growing. Mm-hmm. So there's basic literacy. So that's anyone who is still learning how to read or write, and that even includes some numeracy skills.
Okay.
Then you have people who are adults, and adult is like 18 and or older, who are working towards a high school diploma equivalency. And that's important to understand because it's not just GED. You can do the external diploma program. There are adults who do high school. There's so many different ways to earn a high school equivalency diploma as an adult. Then you have a group of adults who probably have, I literally have students, my ESL students, more degrees than I could ever imagine, but they're considered an adult learner because they're learning English language, and it may not be a second language. I have students who knew five languages, and English was language number six, but they also fall into that bucket. And then the fourth one that's growing is the workforce component, like adding, you know, most people are learning English to get a job. You want your high school diploma to get a job or to be promoted in the job or the field that you have. So everyone is working on their personal goals for like employment or career opportunities.
Okay.
This is a perfect segue, mainly because I am overseeing the workforce digital literacy pathway, because the inclusion of my position into the Department of the Adult Literacy Resource Center is that everything about adult learning was starting to get digitized, including how to prepare for some of the high school equivalencies and things of that nature. So we know that computer skills are essential to the workplace, and that we offer a curriculum, first of all, of 20 plus courses that allow people to go from knowing absolutely nothing to advanced coding, to Microsoft Office and all of that in between, on basic, intermediate, and advanced levels, and workforce credentialing, because we are now in partnership with the Office of the State Superintendent of Education, who has allowed us to offer the Microsoft Office Specialist Exam, otherwise known as the MOUSE certification, free of charge to the adult customer who needs to earn these credentials in order to stay competitive in the workforce. The young people are getting these credentials coming out of school, so the adult who's already out here is competing with a more credentialed intergenerational workforce. Mm-hmm. And so trying to equip the adult who's already out here is our task at this point. I'm excited about it, mainly because it's always been my vision that we offer an industry standard credential that stood its weight in the workplace, as a matter of fact, with employers and everything. So we're excited about that.
That's a great resource at the Adult Literacy Resource Center.
Yes, but
going back to the center itself, tell me more about it. Tell me what it is. Maybe if you know some of the history of how it was founded, tell me some of that.
Okay. So I can tell you about the present. That's where I can tell you about the history. So currently we have some things that are student centered. So we have ESL conversation circles that happen in four different library branches. We also have a partnership with the National Portrait Gallery, where there's ESL conversation circles through your tour in the museum. We also have a program called A Feel for Books, which is a book discussion, not necessarily a book club, because it allows the adult learner to read a book and then have that dialogue that they may not have, you know, outside of their personal lives. We also provide tutoring. We have learning labs. Right now we have one in the Library Express, and we have our second learning lab at the Shaw Library. And there's two things that can happen. In addition to tutoring, you can also receive assessments. Right now, for example, UDC has workforce classes, but there's a special assessment that you need to take in order to qualify for certain classes. So we offer the same assessment, and if you don't have the high enough score, qualifying score, we will tutor you to raise that score, and you can take a post-test, and then you'll be eligible to participate in those workforce classes.
Okay.
Historically, the Adult Literacy Resource Center began over 30 years ago under another administration of the library, which saw the insight to address the literacy levels in the city. As a matter of fact, the founder of that of the resource center just recently retired, and I dare say I'm going to call her name, Marcia Harrington.
Right, yeah.
And she was the sole manager up until about 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, which really put the adult literacy on the map in the city, because we were the most constant source of professional development for all of the other programs in the city, as a matter of fact. And so that's why Shania can tell you about all those services that we offer, because right. These are the things that she's inheriting and getting ready to grow, yeah. As a matter of fact, because there is much growth. Since the literacy level in the city is still stark, the numbers are just devastating. And so it's still a need that needs to be addressed.
Right. Has the center always been at the main library?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they've been housed at the main library the entire time.
And currently, you're in their space. That's Library Express.
Library Express, but that as a temporary situation until we move back into the new setting of the new Martin Luther King Library, hopefully, in 2020, as everybody is looking forward to. But we will still be in the main library, as a matter of fact. It's a central place. One, because it's just centrally accessible, as a matter of fact, but also because most of the professional development we do sponsor can be more easily attended at that location.
Right, that's right. And then you also have satellite services like at Shaw.
That's yes, right. And the plan in the strategic plan, you can, if you're interested, the strategic plan of the DC Public Library is available online. And in that strategic plan, we will have two satellite sites. So we have one up and running now at the Shaw Library branch, and then we're going to have a second one somewhere. I think it's Benning Road, but it's still to be determined. But we'll have three, so we'll have MLK, Shaw, and then the third place to do the same services.
Great. Well, the main library will be opening up hopefully around fall of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can you guys provide our listeners maybe a sneak peek of what you're thinking of what might be there, what kind of services you might want to offer there, or new opportunities that you might have in that space?
Okay. Well, I'd like to make sure and ensure that we are still offering the Microsoft Imagine Academy, which is where the mouse exam can be earned, as a matter of fact, mainly because that makes us a central location for all of the other agencies, not only in D.C., but in the DMV, mm-hmm. who are referring their people to our program. It's one of the best-kept secrets this side of the rock.
That's the one that we can offer for
free.
That's right.
We can still offer it for free. As long as a person is a library card holder, they can take advantage of these services, as a matter of fact, and we're really excited because we do know that the mouse exam is a very pricey exam. Mm-hmm. For us to be in partnership, to be able to offer this as free, is a win-win situation, and we can't talk about it enough.
And that one allows you to show proficiency.
Proficiency, and frankly speaking, since Microsoft has the corner on the market when it comes to this exam, then that means any employer who's looking for persons with skills are looking for people with these certifications, hands down.
Yeah, that's great. How about you, Shania? Anything you like to see in the new space at MLK? Or do with the space?
I really think that it's important to showcase the work of adult learners. You know, if you wrote an essay that you're proud of, how do we showcase that? I would like to see more annual events that are kind of like what people anticipate to see. Like, I have so many ideas, but the two that I would like to start off small, they used to have an essay contest, and I would like to bring that back, revise that. And then also, not just for adult learners who are part of a program, but anyone, maybe tutor people, if you're with a volunteer. And then I also would like to have something like a math fair, so like an annual math fair for adult learners, because again, part of learning is being able to apply what you've learned. Mm-hmm. And the reading and the math are two of the hardest ones. Like if you're studying for your GED, it can be really challenging. So if you have this math fair and the adult learners are showing up with whatever they can bring, I think that would be really amazing. There's like pride in that. Sometimes you can't bring your family to where you're studying. And, you know, looking at opportunities where your family members or your community can come out and be like, you did it! Woo! Because there, you know, it's not easy to wake up and be 47 years old and realize you can't read.
Right.
or that you've been in America for 7 years and people still don't understand you when you're trying to do something at Target. You know, that's very hard for an adult to grapple with for some of them. And finding opportunities to just show them you can do it, you are doing it, you have this entire community behind you, and that's really what I see in the future for the adult learner, is showcasing the awesome work that they're doing and give them encouragement and inspiration.
Yeah, no, I really like that. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to, so I work at the labs, and one of the things I'm excited about is just sharing a building with your department. Mm-hmm. I think that we are naturally a close department that should be working more closely together.
That's right.
I'm very excited. I look forward to that in the new building.
Yeah, because that's one of our other goals too, is finding ways to, how do you help educators? Because the second part, and I talked about students and learning and adult learners, but we do offer professional development for anyone who works in the profession. If you're an educator, instructor, tutor, volunteer, free professional development. You guys heard that? Free professional development through our services. And one of the things is the library has a lot to offer, but most people don't know what to do with it. You can be a skilled teacher and say, well, yeah, they have a Fab Lab, but what does that have to do with writing essays?
Right.
So it's our job to help them see, yes, that you can write an essay about the Fab Lab, and this is how, because they don't know, or some of the resources they haven't heard of, like Canopy. They're like, oh, I don't have to keep going to, like, you know, somewhere else and using my personal Netflix account to show my students a movie. No, you don't. You can use Canopy. Use your library card. So there's a lot of resources that I think educators are familiar with, but they need a little bit more explanation to use it. Or they're like, I don't have time to figure out how to incorporate this in my lesson. You figure it out. And then we're going to work on that in the future as well.
Right. So you both have some colleagues back at the center.
Yes, awesome colleagues too.
Yeah, do you guys want to give a shout out to your colleagues?
Okay, yes. As a matter of fact, I'd like to shout out one of my main trainers that works on the team. His name is Michael Rivera. And I have to admit that he is awesome in getting people who need to come into the world of the computer excited about it. He knows how to get up underneath of them and get them inspired. And one of the things about adult learners is that you do have to inspire what we call persistence drivers, meaning engaging them and then keeping them in the process, because as we have discussed before, none of what we teach is learned in a day. Repetition is the only way to get it. And so in order to get that repetition, you have to keep people engaged. And Michael Rivera is good about that.
That's great.
Yes.
We have education specialists. So there's four. And I think that's important to understand that the education specialists are not librarians.
Right.
So our job is just like, I'm an education specialist. I'm not a librarian. I'm learning down the law. I'm learning about these library cards, checking things in and out. But we do have Tony White Richardson, who's really good with programming. She helps with a feel for books and a feel for movies. We have Ben, who everybody knows Ben. I don't even have to say his last name. Everybody in the community knows Ben because he does our network and outreach. And he also does some professional development training in the community. We also have Miss Janice Peterson. And she has been holding it down in our learning lab, doing the assessments, tutoring people one-on-one. She's on the weekends, too. That's right. Tutoring on Saturdays, guys. Check us out. And then we also have, I'm missing Miss Paula.
Yes,
we have Miss Paula, who oversees right now the collections. So we have certain books for adult learners, and we're taking the collection that we have and seeing that we can have the same collections in our satellite sites for adult learners to have access to as well. And I do want to give a shout out to two more people. So they're not education specialists, but they're, you know, extremely important to our function. And that is Mr. Gray. And then we have Elaine, and they help us run like the day-to-day operations and keeping everything together.
Great. Well, shout out to everyone at the Adult Literacy Resource Center. So I'm also curious to know about the sort of people that come in to the center. Do you primarily serve adults? Like, does that mean 18 and older, or do you serve maybe young adults? Who else do you serve?
They're usually 18 and older. We always say 18 and beyond. So it's never too late. It's never too late to work on something. There are people who have earned a high school diploma, and it's been a minute. And they're like, you know what? I need some help with X, Y, and Z. And that's okay. Those adults are also welcome to the Adult Literacy Resource Center. You may have, again, someone who just didn't finish high school for a variety of reasons. Or there may be someone who is considered like special needs. And it's just like, you know, I receive some type of services or accommodations in a K through 12, but they feel like they still need some additional support or they haven't completely reached their goal. And those are the learners we serve as well.
The computer classes draw not only the adult mm-hmm. population, but we've had some very exciting moments of an intergenerational composition of our classes where young people have come with their parents mm-hmm. or the parent has brought their son or daughter with them while they learned, only to find out that the son and daughter know about as much as everybody else does, and they become instant co-teachers, and the adults in the class love it because of the intergenerational dynamic. So even though we publicize to the adult, we welcome whoever comes to the classes, even if they're not in the 18 and beyond okay. category, as a matter of fact. And we've actually had some stellar successes with that. The learning process is just awesome. I also need to give a shout out to the fact that even though myself and Mr. Rivera do a lion's share of the teaching, not a lion's share, I should say majority teaching, the program has been sustained by a core of volunteer computer instructors okay. over a 20-year period. This program would not be alive and kicking if I did not have quality people who have responded to recruitments for volunteers who have these skills. I don't have to teach them a thing. They come in already knowing the Microsoft Office applications, and they have the people skills to transmit their knowledge. So I give a shout out to all of the volunteer computer instructors with the free computer class program.
Yeah. Desiree, can you tell me more about how you create this computer calendar? I mean, I know even with us at the branches, or when I've worked at the branches, it's one of the top resources that we provide. Okay. You almost create a pathway for wherever someone is,
yes.
and you give them kind of, a guideline to what to do. How do you come up with that? And also with your network of volunteers, how do you create that?
Excellent question. Thank you very much. Because that calendar is a document creation feat every month, as a matter of fact. But it is preceded by a lot of communication with the trainers, because I get from them when they're available. And the calendar is constructed upon their availability. I fill in, curricular-wise, what should happen where if something's missing in terms of a class that needs to precede a class. Because we usually like people to come in with prerequisites under their belt. Like, you don't take Excel 3 if you haven't had Excel 2, and you don't take Excel 2 unless you've had Excel 1, okay? But if it hasn't been postured on the calendar like that, then most folks are not knowing how to interpret their steps, as a matter of fact. So we do give guidance on how to pursue your skill development, as well as a graphical presentation on the back of that calendar, which gives kind of like a skills tree, so that when people want to tag where they might be, that they know where they are and where they can go or where they need to go in their skill development. In terms of the physical structure of that calendar, as I said, I'm having to tweak it every month. But it is a joy when it's done, as a matter of fact. And we do post on the online calendar as well, as a matter of fact. So I'm grateful to our communications department that gets it up and running that way, too. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's great. I also wanted to ask about, you mentioned earlier about engaging the students that come to the center. That's something that I think we all struggle to do in the library, is how do we engage our customers? How do we create opportunities where they can continue to come back to the library and use us as a resource?
Okay.
How do you do that at the center? How do you keep people engaged? Both of you, how do you do this in your work?
I make sure that I stay in touch with the people who are serving the people who are coming. First of all, we have a listserv of over 136 agencies and individuals that work with other folks who need these skills. They keep them coming as well, because there's usually a level of accountability that they have to give back to a case manager that they've actually attended the class. Mm-hmm. And so they're being monitored from not just our point of view, as a matter of fact. We have learned over the years that sometimes when a program is free, it's easy to kind of kick it to the curb, so to speak. But when you have another level of accountability for somebody else who's watching your growth and development, then there's usually more consistency in your engagement in the program and everything. We do have customers who come back because they do see their need for a repeat. And so we might see some of the same customers on and on and on, but we don't make them feel bad about that because we know that this is what it takes. Everybody learns differently and at a different rate. And we want to be there for everybody as they are learning the skills that they need to be competitive in the workforce.
And I can add to that where, let's say if you have someone coming in for just maybe information or for assessment or for another reason, the best way to keep someone engaged is to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really important because sometimes there's a lot of assumptions made about adults, like all adults, like, oh, you're an adult, you should know, or you should know better. And that's not necessarily the case. So really, you know, understanding where are you at now, where are you trying to go, and how do you see me helping you get there? That's important because when people feel heard, they feel respected, they feel appreciated, that's kind of like the secret recipe to engagement. Because even if it's just a one-time contact saying, oh, this is where you need to go, you should go to this program or this other branch, you made an impression on that person, and then they're going to refer a church member, a coworker, or something like that, and then they'll bring people back to you. And it's the same thing for like repeat courses or tutoring. You know, when you meet them where they are, they're like, oh, this is where I need to be, as opposed to, well, the rest of the class started in September and you just started in October and you need to catch up. For some people, that doesn't work for them, and they need like a slower, steadier pace or a more intimate setting of instruction and tutoring, and that's something that we provide that most programs cannot.
So a little bit of more like customized sort of environment and to learn, and when you say meet them where you are, can you talk more about that? How would you say if you're training someone to do that? What would you tell them to do?
You know, I got my start working with nuns, so it was hard. I'm going to tell you a short story. I remember tutoring a gentleman, and he was probably at the time old enough to be my father. And it was a simple question about the four major food groups. This is like, you can I said 16 years, right? Because no one talks about four food groups anymore. There's like pyramids and plates and all types of stuff. And the gentleman goes to tell me what the major food groups were. And he said, canned goods. And he said it with so much pride. And my whole face said what I was thinking. And he just looked at me. And he said, you know, you're so young. You know, you probably have your parents buying your groceries for you. And I'm thinking, what does groceries have to do with the food groups? And he said, well, that's how the supermarket is organized. You have your produce section, you have your dairy section, you have your meat, and then you have canned goods. And I was thinking, I was even more surprised. Like, I had to learn how not to look shocked. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like in his world, that was his understanding of the question. He wasn't thinking about food in general, mm-hmm. but when he thought food, he thought grocery store or supermarket. And that was a really tough lesson for me to learn, because I'm thinking, again, I made the same assumptions. You're an adult. Like, everybody knows this. You learned this in kindergarten. No, not everybody did. Not everybody went to kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And so meeting an adult learner where they are really starts with building some sort of relationship with that person. You know, you really have to be free of any assumptions or expectations, really getting to see, like, where are you? Mm-hmm. Where are you trying to go? And you're just kind of like the Uber driver, like, all right, like, help me figure it out. I think for a lot of people working with adults, it's not easy because you really have to speak to the way an individual learns. And it takes time. Like, you really have to have patience and creativity, mm-hmm. especially if you have a classroom. You may have like 10 people in your group, but you have to think about it in a way where, I know I have people who are social. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out what to do with the people who are talkative. I have people who don't want to talk at all. I have folks who only want to use technology. I have people, you know, I taught ESL and I work with people from other countries, and some people didn't want a female teacher. Mm-hmm. So I had to figure out, how do I gain respect from this guy who doesn't like... But you meet them exactly where they are, each and every student, And then you bring them together as a class community where people feel welcome and respected, and then you grow from there.
Desiree, do you want to add anything?
The challenge in teaching computer skills is that you, first of all, don't know whose learning style is which when they come to class, as a matter of fact. So you're always teaching a multi-learning environment, one skill, for instance, how to use the mouse, how to use the keyboard. And you're not teaching individually, you're teaching a class. And so, frankly speaking, we find that some adults who may not have been in a class in a long time are not only having to relearn how to be in class, but how to learn the skill being taught in that class. And so my trainers, again, need to be commended highly because they deal with that multi-level of learning that goes on when you're teaching computer skills, whether it's the basic or whether it's any of the intermediate courses or whatever, that they come basically with different learning styles and different learning needs. The versatility of the trainer is knowing how to tap into who's in the class, use the advantage of those who know more to help those who don't, and to keep everybody on the same page so nobody feels like they've been left behind.
Right. Are there any sort of recurring challenges or opportunities that you see at the center, or what are the most common ways that these adult learners are learning? Like visually, like what is the best thing that works?
That's a spectrum. I mean, everyone, yeah, that's right. I think the other thing I can say for listeners is that, you know, however you learn when you are 5 years old, it's the same way you're going to learn at 55. It's the same way you're going to learn at 85. You know, you don't outgrow the way you learn. Some people are very hands-on. They have to touch something, they have to build, they have to create, they have to move around. For me, if it's not written, I don't understand anything. I have to see it. Like, I have to see it written down so I can go back and review it. And then those are our preferences. You know, people who are trained teachers understand that that's part of your education as a teacher, to learn about the different styles and how to detect it. There's like a toolkit of instructional strategies that work. But in this field, there's not always a trained professional. You may have a volunteer, a tutor, someone who worked as an engineer and knows a lot about math and numbers, but may not have been an instructor. And that's where our professional development training can support those people. If you're not, you know, someone who's actually in the field, but you want to support, again, maybe you have tutoring at your church or something like that, we help them with those skills so they can help the adult learner, because it varies on what's a challenge for the way that they learn and like the resources and materials.
Yeah. Great. Let's go back to the professional development that you do, and job seekers and resume help.
Okay.
That's one of the services
Services we do provide. And that service is in such high demand, as a matter of fact. We don't have to have a lot of people come, but the folks that do come require intense help.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, we do find that a lot of folks who may not have had keyboarding as a part of their work life need help with the typing of their resumes. We do find that people who hail from other countries need to have their resumes reviewed for how to tailor them to their presentation in the U.S. Workforce market. And it's been an education as much for us as it is for the person we're helping to make these global discoveries in the job clinic. We also have experienced that the job search process is a job by itself. So we're actually having to do a certain amount of coaching with the person we're helping to see how they can make the skills that they're bringing maybe to the U.S. from another country transferable to a job that they may be interested here, where they are suited skill-wise but may need to get a new level of credentialing in order for that to happen. So it is a coaching, a very hands-on experience, not to mention that pretty much the lion's share of jobs are online, which means if you don't have computer skills, you're really kind of challenged, I should say, as a matter of fact. And so, frankly speaking, getting people to understand that being online with the job search requires that you give up certain information.
Right.
And that's just the nature of the process and that kind of thing. So, and they can be quite long-winded and challenging. As a matter of fact, besides the application process, there's sometimes the employer will ask for an assessment. assessment of decision-making type scenarios, as a matter of fact. So we try to be there for them. For our job clinics, probably for some folks, are not long enough, but we do what we can, as a matter of fact. And people, they usually walk away some step closer to what they are aiming toward.
Right. Yeah, and then one of the frustrations that I've had as a librarian on the desk is that I often don't have the opportunity to spend time with my library patron. It's very much kind of ready reference or quick exchange of information. But that's really where you guys come in. You guys are able to spend that time, customize that time and environment with the customers. So thank you for that. Thanks for providing that service. And I also wanted to ask a bit of advice. Say if I wanted to create a program for adult learners, what would be some things that I should think about or incorporate into my program?
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of program that you would be interested in developing. Again, there's the basic literacy, people who are still learning phonics and developing fluency in their reading. Adult learning also includes people who are working towards a high school diploma. And then you also have workforce and English as another language. So it really depends on which one. Because most programs don't do the gamut. You know, some people focus just on ESL, and they may have some workforce component, or they only focus on high school equivalency, and then they don't do basic, you know, tutoring and phonics and things like that. So they kind of perfect and be an expert in a particular field. Honestly, my best advice would be to connect with one of the organizations in D.C. I think we have about over 30. We call them literacy providers and like workforce training programs, or the OSSE office. They have an adult, I want to say it's the OSSE Family and Adult Literacy. I can't get the exact name, but they're also a good resource to where to start, what would the funding look like, and then also participating in some training, because it is a skill. Like, teaching is a skill. Some people can cook, some people can sing, some people are good at, you know, being persuasive. But teaching is a skill that requires some sort of training. Just because you went to high school doesn't mean you're going to be a great teacher. Just right. Because English is your first language doesn't mean you can teach the world. No. There are some basics that I would recommend someone to have in their toolkit if they want to start something. The other thing, too, is knowing the community.
Right.
Because I have seen people like, oh, I'm this happy person from New Jersey, which is me. I'm a happy person from New Jersey. And then you're coming to D.C. and you don't know the community. Like, I was so confused about East of the River when I'm like, what is that? Why does everyone say it's dangerous? Like, what? I had so many different things about it, and it was nothing. Like, Anacostia is beautiful. I don't know what people were talking about. I grew up in South Jersey, so I'm like, oh, this is like my old neighborhood. But you really got to know the neighborhood, know the people in the community, get to establish a relationship. You just can't show up and say, you guys look like you need some ESL, and then start a program and you don't have any connection with them, because it probably won't work.
No, I agree. I agree on that. Really getting to know your community. Who you're serving, and really thinking about yourself as a resource. Well, before we close, I wanted to give you guys the opportunity for having the last word or saying anything else. But also thank you again for coming on the show. It's been really fun.
Thank you. We're happy
so
to be
much.
Here.
We're happy to be here, as a matter of fact. And if we want to give a last shout out to the programs that we offer, I would definitely shout out that if you do not have your Microsoft Office Specialist Exam certifications in any of the Microsoft products, you need to check us out. You can get them free of charge.
That's right.
At the Adult Literacy Resource Center.
That's great.
And that's right. We have free tutoring on Saturdays. So not a lot of people have programs on Saturdays at our Library Express that's close to the Farragut North Metro Station. So if you have one more exam to take for the GED, you need some one-on-one attention, Library Express, well, I want to say it is 1990 K Street.
Great. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Well, this has been an episode of DC Public Library on Full Service Radio in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Visit dclibrary.org for more information and send us your feedback at DCPL on Twitter and DC Public Library on Instagram. Thank you for listening and have a good afternoon.